Thank you, Judy, for reading that scripture. Thank you, Jarrett, for your devotion. You said in 3 minutes what I probably am going to take 30 minutes to say. So you're going to have to put up with me. We are a nation founded on freedom. And I was just thinking about this, that if Great Britain had just backed off a little bit back in the 1700s, there might not have been a revolution, at least not as soon as it happened. And if that were the case, we wouldn't be celebrating Independence Day today. Instead, Great Britain continued to infringe on the rights to such a point that people were willing to go to war to gain freedom, willing to lay their lives and their fortunes on the line. And so independence was declared. And our founding document, that Declaration of Independence, says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And a few key words and phrases in this document, profound. One of the words there is truths. The founders believed there was such a thing as truth. Not only is there truth, but it is self-evident truth. People today say you can't know the truth. But you know they are, way smarter than Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Adams, the people today. Our founders knew their Bibles, and they were wiser for it. And I wonder if certain Bible verses came to mind as they were writing these documents. I wonder about Romans 1:20 that says that his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, having been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Verse says that there are just some things that we should just be able to look out in the world and know. If truth were some elusive wisp of an idea, it would make sense that we could stand before God at some point and just say, we didn't get it. But the Bible says that we're without excuse. The founders said that there are truths that are self-evident. It's self-revealing for all who are willing to open their eyes and just see it. All men are created equal. And I wonder about the Bible verse, Galatians 3:28, that says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, there is no male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Maybe that verse came to mind. It said all men are created equal, meaning they knew we had a creator. You're not an accident. You're not the product of time and chance. You are not simply pond scum that has been rearranged over the course of millions and billions of years. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by our Creator who loves you. And we are created equal. We are created, endowed by our Creator with rights. Rights that are not given by any government. We don't have the right to freely gather this morning because the government says we can. We have the right because, as the founders understood, it was endowed by our Creator. The government is supposed to protect that right from those who would take it away. Canada has been especially harsh in shutting down churches during the whole COVID thing. They are still not able to freely gather and worship together as a church. And just in the last week or two, I want you to wrap your minds around this, a police helicopter in Calgary discovered a secret outdoor meeting of a congregation. And the next day, the pastor of that church was arrested at his home in front of his wife and 8 children. Okay, that's what's going on just north. They've tried to really shut down churches in South Canada as well. It's what we call California. The courts finally stepped in and vacated thousands of dollars of fines against churches, told the state to pay the church's legal fees, and reminded them we still have a First Amendment, that it never should have gotten that far, even in California, because this right is seen as self-evident by our founders, and it is protected in the Constitution as one of our freedoms. Now, the Declaration says that among our rights, so that means not limited to, we have more than these three that are listed, but our life. I wonder, were they thinking of, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Liberty. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound. Or Peter put it like this. He said that we should live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but live as servants of God. And it says the pursuit of happiness. The NIV says that there will be a day when we may hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. We find our best life when we pursue our joy in Christ. Now, did Jefferson have these verses in mind? I can't say that. He didn't footnote the Declaration with Bible citations, so I don't know that. But this certainly didn't come from a Buddhist worldview or an Islamic worldview or an atheist worldview. It came from people who were informed by the Holy Scriptures. And the last line of the Declaration states, and for the support of this Declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And divine providence, that means God. They used words like that when they were talking about God. Divine providence. They a firm reliance on God. The preamble of the Constitution of the United States says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. One of the purposes of the Constitution was to secure liberty, to secure our freedom, even from our own government. Go read the 10th Amendment that limits the power of the government. Now, what our founders were trying to do was protect the citizens in this nation from tyranny, tyranny from without and tyranny from within. They were laying the groundwork for us to have earthly freedom. And I believe there is a correlation between our earthly freedom and an even greater freedom, our spiritual freedom. I'm witnessing in this nation that the farther we get from Jesus as a nation, as the farther we get from Jesus, from our freedom in Christ, the farther we stray from the freedoms that are found in our founding documents. The less people are self-governed by the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit because they don't believe, the more they want to restrict the rights of those they disagree with. Simply put, I believe that as the percentage of Bible-believing Christians declines in this nation, our freedom will also decline. Now, God has never declared that Christians would be blessed with earthly freedom. In fact, for most of history, the freedom we enjoy just hasn't been a thing anywhere. Yet Christianity has grown even under tyranny. Jesus himself lived under the rule of a dictator. It is truly a blessing from God, not only to have freedom in Christ, but also freedom as Americans. That doesn't make Americans better than anyone else. It doesn't mean that we are to worship the flag or our government or the Statue of Liberty or anything else associated with the United States. Worship is meant for God and God alone. And it doesn't mean that God will continue to bless us, especially if we turn from Him as a nation. America's never been perfect. It never will be perfect. I still think it's the best place to live. I mean, if America is as terrible as people today are trying to say, why do so many immigrants long to come here? This is the place they want to be. In today's text, Jesus talks about freedom. And he's talking about true freedom. See, you can live in a free America and you can still be in bondage if you don't know Jesus. Jesus explains how to come to the true freedom, the eternal freedom, which can only be found in Him. He's speaking to a mixed crowd. Some are believers. Some are not believers. Some are curious seekers. Perhaps on the fence, you might say. Some might become believers. Others won't. Some would follow Him to the death, and others would like to kill Him right where He stands. And Jesus said, He said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. So first of all, doesn't it make sense that Jesus gets to define what it means to be a disciple of Jesus? You know, so many people say, well, I believe in Jesus, but then they disagree with half the things Jesus says. All right, Jesus is the one who gets to decide what it means to be His disciple. He says, if you abide in My word. Okay, in this case, abide means to conform to or to accept without rejection. If you conform to My word, He says, you are My disciples. The NIV says, if you hold to My teaching. And He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus tells us His word is truth, and we find freedom in the truth. Okay, not a truth, not your truth, but the truth. Truth all comes back around to the person of Jesus. John begins his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then Jesus in verse 14, He says, the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of truth. Never did a word come out of the mouth of Jesus or was even thought in the mind of Jesus that wasn't truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. When Jesus prayed the night before His crucifixion, He said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus never spoke a word outside the will of the Father. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are always in agreement, and their words are always righteous and true. And Jesus just tells us that if we will obey His teaching as His followers, willingly and faithfully and lovingly, we will find freedom. Now, this is obedience because we have been saved by grace through faith. He's not suggesting that we should obey grudgingly or to merit favor or to earn our salvation. The Pharisees obeyed the law out of a legalistic duty, and they were a miserable lot. They didn't obey out of a loving relationship. And I think, what slavery would it be to obey the word, to carry out that burden of trying to do this perfectly and doing it without Jesus, without the help of the Holy Spirit, without even believing in God, just out of a duty. And you would deny yourself worldly pleasure in doing that, pleasure in this world, without knowing the joy of the Lord. You would be miserable in this world, and you would be far worse in the next. And you would be like one of the Pharisees. Because you thought you had it all together, you would be one of the hardest ones to reach with the truth. The Pharisees act like Jesus doesn't know what He's talking about. The idea that they aren't already free is just, it blows their mind. That they need to be liberated from anything just irritates them. And so they said, we are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Hey, we're God's chosen people. How could His chosen people ever be slaves? And they hid behind the pride of being Hebrews, being descendants of Abraham. Well, hello, Egypt, Babylon, Persia, Rome. You become slaves. I mean, they were already slaves, but you become slaves when you ignore God's word and chase after your own truth. The gods of your own making. Mark Moore wondered in his commentary that maybe they weren't ignoring history. They weren't ignoring Persia and Egypt and Rome, but they were just claiming that they've never been enslaved by idols or enslaved by demons. And if they were even thinking that, they're still ignoring an obvious truth, because the Old Testament tells us that the reason for the exile, the reason they were enslaved by Babylon, is because they were chasing after the gods of all the people around them. And as for the demons, they claim they didn't chase either. Well, Paul writes very clearly that what pagans sacrifice to idols, they're actually offering to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. And he's saying if you worship an idol, even a modern day idol, demons are what's behind that. Truth is so important. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he told her her life story. She had been married 5 times. She had 5 husbands. The man she was with now is not her husband. But he didn't say, but that's okay. You just go do your thing. You go live your own truth. Well, why didn't he say that? Because there's no such thing as your truth. There's the truth and then there are lies. Jesus said the truth will set you free. And he told the woman, and I'm going to paraphrase this. This is kind of my words. He basically told her, you don't know what the truth is. God wants real worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. And he doesn't tell us in today's text that your truth will set you free. If you're just true to your own feelings and you live in a way that makes you happy, that's where you'll find freedom. No, that's bondage. But that's what the world seems to think right now. Freedom comes when you live your truth. So if you think you're a girl trapped in a boy's body or vice versa, then you do what you can to realize your truth. Never mind actual science, okay, actual biology, just live your truth. Never mind that the one who is truth actually said the words in the beginning, he made them male and female. You just live your truth. You know, for the entire month of June, companies, the government, universities, sports teams, all tech and social media, libraries, they were all devoted to a sin. Sin of pride. That's what it was called, right? Pride Month. If you were a public company or a public personality, man, you better jump on that bandwagon or else they would come after you. And the pride was in celebrating another sin. And the pressure was immense to celebrate everything LGBTQ. As Christians, we are to love them. We love all people, and loving people means that we don't go along with a lie, what they would call their truth, because their truth could destroy their soul just to make them temporarily feel better about themselves. And if we don't agree with their truth and celebrate it and affirm it, then we are the ones who hate, and we should be canceled or punished. This is Canada again. A bill has been introduced in Canada that would fine someone $20,000 for online hate speech. It's like on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. That's only the first offense. Second offense, $50,000. And guess who gets to define what hate speech is? Okay? If you say anything against their truth, you'll be forced to pay if this passes. And those who are for this claim that is freedom. Folks, being conformed to this world is not freedom. Being pressed and forced into a shape the world wants you to be in is bondage. That just leads me to a question. From what bondage do you want to be free? I want you to think about that for a second. You can even write it down. What do you feel right now has you enslaved or in bondage? What situation you're in? What feeling you have? I don't know. There's something maybe that you just feel like it's got a hold of you and it won't let go. Now, the first bondage we should want to be free from is sin. the Pharisee said, "We've never been slaves to anyone." And Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, everyone who sins, it practices sin, is a slave to sin." Well, what's the Bible say about sin? It says that all have sinned, right? When we are conformed to this world and its sinful desires, we are slaves to sin. The biggest weight tying us down is our sin. But if we know the truth, if we know Jesus, then that will set us free. Jesus is the great liberator. He frees us from the penalty of sin, and he frees us from the power of sin, although that battle is ongoing with our sin nature. Now, Jesus said those who practice sin. So he's really talking about a habitual sin, sin that you just won't get rid of. It's like a lifestyle sin. And the power of Christ can free you from that. But there are other things I would like to be free from. I want to be free from worry and anxiety. You know, Jesus tells us that he'll take care of our needs, and that we don't have to worry. I want to be free from fear. How many times does Jesus say, "Don't be afraid"? I'd like to be free from comparing myself to others. You know, most people do this in one way or another. And we might say, "Well, I wish I could be healthy like so-and-so is healthy, or well-to-do like this person, more successful, drive the kind of car they drive, whatever. You know, I think a lot of times, too, the other person we compare ourselves to is that person that we thought we would become when we were younger. It's kind of like, you know, I want to do this and this and this, and it just didn't pan out. And then we live our life with these regrets that we're enslaved to because that didn't happen. And maybe the Lord made it happen the way it did, and you're better off. You don't even realize it. And so we don't even want to compare ourselves to maybe a dream that we had about ourselves. I want to be free from that. Now, here's what it might look like for a pastor. And yeah, we deal with this too. Other preachers, they have a bigger church. They have more online viewers. They're on radio or TV, or they have a bigger home or a newer car, or they're just more dynamic and they can really deliver a sermon better. And I wish that because I stood up here, just because that, I wish I had it all together and never had an anxious thought. And it's just, I'm not looking for pity or anything. I'm just saying that we all want freedom from some things that bring us down. We all deal with these issues on some level or another. And it's easy when we dwell on our shortcomings, on our sins and our fears and our wants, that we can turn our thoughts back onto themselves and we worry about them and then we feel guilty about that. And one anxiety builds upon another. And maybe you've seen it's a little trick. It's not really a trick, but it's you can only fold a piece of paper 7 times. Have you seen that? Okay, so if you take if you get special paper that's really, really thin and really, really long, you can fold it like 12 or 13 times. But a regular sheet of paper, you can only fold it 7 times. And you can't fold it anymore because it's too hard. And I started thinking about this little trick here, and I think, man, it's a lot of times that's kind of like I think what we do to ourselves when we're worrying and anxious and thinking about stuff, because we just kind of, one thought will fold back over on itself, and so we fold it over, and that thought, so we messed up on something, we're feeling afraid about something. Well, then we feel guilty because we were afraid, and Jesus says we shouldn't be afraid, so we feel guilty. And so then we fold that thought back onto itself, and when we start to feel guilty, and then, well, man, I'm afraid, and I'm guilty, and I start to worry. Well, what's going to happen? And so that folds back on itself again. Well, then, you know, I'm guilty and I'm afraid and I'm worried and I start to feel defeated. And so I'm defeated and that starts to fold back. Well, then if I'm defeated, you know, I start to worry again and it folds again. And then I fold it one more time and guess what? I'm at 7 and I can't fold it anymore. And this is what my mind becomes, is this balled up, just it's all tight and it's man, it's not open, it's not free. This is, if I tried to fold this again, it would be like trying to fold, it's like about a square inch, 128 pieces of paper. Because it doubles every time, it's exponential. And I think I just think of freedom in Christ as like, instead of letting that fear turn into worry, or letting the worry turn into fear or anxiety, and it gets deeper and deeper, and then there's guilt and there's defeat. Instead, each time, maybe we just give it to Jesus, right? And we start to let him kind of smooth out things before it folds over on itself. And so we just keep giving it to Jesus, and we just let him kind of unwind us, right? And we trust the promises that he's given us in his word, that he will take care of the things that we need, the clothes and the food, and he will, you know, he does have a place for us. He is preparing that for us, and we just give it to Jesus, and we keep thinking and taking that promise that if the Son sets you free, you're free. And then we kind of get ourselves kind of, yeah, there's still a few wrinkles on there. You know, that's what happens when you get old. You get wrinkly, right? I got a few of them, right? But I'm not all balled up on myself. My mind is not this tight little mess that just keeps bouncing around on itself. And I'm not defeated anymore. It's free. I want that freedom from sinful thoughts, from selfish attitudes. I don't want to be a slave to sin. I don't want you to be in bondage either. And I think in this sense, we even need to be free from ourselves. And how do we do that? It is complete surrender to Jesus. Complete surrender to the truth, his truth. John, in 3 John, he wrote, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." I want you to walk in the truth. Walking in the truth of the word is walking in freedom. And I just want people to know the freedom we have in Christ, to be free from that bondage, that life without Jesus is a life of slavery. Paul wrote that when we did not know God, we were enslaved to those who by natures are not God. And so there are some things, there are some bondages that we need to be free from. But also, I want to ask you this, for what blessing do you want to be free? For what blessing do you want to be free? And think about this for a second, too, if you want to write some things down. God doesn't set us free just so we can wipe the sweat from our brow and skip through life and say, "Woo, I'm good now," for all the rest of our days. There is a why behind your freedom. Okay. What blessings do you want? Not just to receive, but also to bestow. When we lay down our burdens at the foot of the cross, and we don't pick them back up again, okay? We got to leave them there. There is so much freedom. When we find freedom in Christ, we are free to receive the blessing of forgiveness. We are free to live in the peace of God. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. Philippians 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And it says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." We have the freedom to have God guard our heart and our mind from those thoughts that just turn back on themselves. Paul had that. Even though he was in prison, the world would look at someone like Paul and say, "You're not free." And yet Paul was chained to a Roman soldier, sang hymns, and he prayed. Acts 16 says there was an earthquake, and the doors of the prison flew open, and the guard was going to kill himself because he just assumed all the prisoners escaped. And Paul stopped him. Paul said, "We're all here." Paul was free from feelings of anger and revenge. He'd been illegally whipped. He was a Roman citizen. He was free from those feelings, which made him free to share the gospel. He was free to bless this man. He baptized the jailer and his family. He was free to lead others into freedom. Okay, do you get that? The one in jail was free, and the one guarding him was in bondage, and the prisoner freed the soldier through faith in Christ. You are free. Not free to do anything you want, okay? "Oh, I feel like I should just do this or do that so I can be happy." You're free to be what God made you to be. And it's a freedom that transcends what anybody else thinks or the philosophies of this world. You are free to be a light in this dark world. You are free to serve others in the name of Jesus. You are free to love your neighbor without worrying what you will get in return. And it is only in Christ that you are truly free to have the best possible life in this existence and joy eternal in the life to come. How can you bless someone else with your freedom? Have them meet Jesus. Not the way the world sees Jesus, okay? But the real Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus who is the truth. The Jesus who said, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. It really is all about Jesus. And seriously, I think the more Jesus gets pushed out of our society, the less free we will be. And we find that we find true freedom in the Son. No matter where you live on the earth, true freedom is in Christ. Christians in North Korean prison experience more inner freedom than the richest atheists in America. And it doesn't matter what our heritage is, our race is, our socioeconomic status. None of that matters because Christ sets you free from those worldly restraints. All this division in the world right now, that's not freedom. That's bondage to anger and spite. It is bondage to revenge and hatefulness. All of this wokeness people are fighting over, it's basically a false religion and it comes from Satan. And it is designed to make us take our eyes off of Jesus and focus on the differences between people. Jesus closes this little section by scolding the Pharisees for being so angry and divisive and hypocritical and not believing the truth. Trying to tell them that religion and philosophy, that doesn't save them. In their case, being Jewish didn't save them. Only a true relationship with Christ. He says, I know you're offspring of Abraham, yet you still seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. That's what's going on in the world today. Worldly philosophy has no place for the word of God. That's why there's so much bondage to hate and strife. And Jesus replies by basically saying, you don't even know Abraham. Your father's the devil. We find true freedom in surrendering to Jesus. And because of pride, so many people refuse to surrender. And when they refuse, they remain under spiritual oppression. And Jesus, the oppression that Jesus came to destroy, it's right there in front of people. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator. God created you for freedom. He created you for oneness with Jesus, oneness with each other. He created us to love one another. You are fearfully and wonderfully created to give God glory and to enjoy a saving relationship with Jesus forever. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful that no matter where we are, no matter where we live, if we have you, we have freedom. Lord, freedom from the things that matter. Freedom from the things that truly oppress. And Lord, it is an eternal freedom. God, we're so thankful that you went to the cross through, Christ went to the cross to buy those freedoms for us, to release us from bondage to sin. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.